950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett, Sam, and Kate on Indigenous Peoples Day. How you doing over there, Sam?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Glad to have you back. You were sick last week. You feeling better? You kind of had, as Kate was calling it, the company crud.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Could be better, but could be worse.
Worse. There you go. Yeah, exactly. Well, you may have heard me say it is Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm not calling it Columbus Day. And, of course, I'm already hearing, probably already getting some people saying, oh, the PC police are coming out not saying Columbus Day. All I got to say, have you ever gone back in history to actually see what type of person Christopher Columbus was? Because even if you take it in historical context for the time he lived in, he was still a pretty lousy guy. I think you were mentioning at the end of Matt's show, we had a caller that was chiming in and saying that he was doing something with the sex trade among minors, which, of course, I don't care what era you live in, that's a pretty ugly thing to do among the other atrocities that Christopher Columbus and his crew committed. So, yeah, therefore, it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Let's just kind of put this whole Columbus thing day to bed.
Yeah, even for the time, you'd think that that should be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, it still happens to this day, but it's
right.
It's an awful, like, it's not a product of the times, necessarily.
Yeah, and I do get that we do need some historical context when it comes to judging figures from the past and deciding whether we should honor them or name buildings or name landmarks after them, because that's the reason why I sort of have mixed feelings about the renaming of buildings on the University of Minnesota, because I do think with some of those guys there, you could make an argument that for the time they lived in, you might be able to make an argument that they were just kind of doing what was normal for their time, unlike John C. Calhoun, who was just an absolutely terrible person, and of course, the exact same thing with Christopher Columbus as well. So glad to see. I know Minneapolis calls it Indigenous Peoples Day, but at the federal level, it is still Columbus Day. And you want to know why? I don't know if you noticed when you were doing the weather earlier today, Sam, but we pull up our weather forecast from the National Weather Service. It doesn't say Monday today. It says Columbus Day. And by the way, I didn't say that on the weather. You didn't either, did you?
No, I did not.
Doesn't even have a good ring to it. On your Columbus Day evening, look for a low of whatever it's supposed to be tonight, 30-something degrees.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely cool out there for October. So, yeah, Indigenous Peoples Day, and I'm sure Robert and the crew talked about that during the Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake show back on Saturday as well. Hey, we had a couple of phone calls, actually including one that I just got before I came on the air today. Had a great conversation with Linda from Healthcare for All Minnesota, looking at lining up an interview with them because in the coming debates, and especially as we approach the general election in 2020, you are going to see a lot of attacks, not just on the idea of Medicare for All, but just the idea of a public option or any type of Medicare. You're going to see a lot of attacks with that. So definitely going to be looking forward to getting someone on from Healthcare for All in Minnesota. I think we're looking at possibly getting John Marty on. So thanks so much for Linda to calling in. Had a good conversation with her actually just before we came on the airwaves. She was just calling our general phone line. And speaking of both Democrats and even Republicans kind of going after this idea of Medicare for All, I have a story about Amy Klobuchar doing the same type of thing. I don't know how much detail I'll get into it today, but definitely if I don't talk about it a lot today, we will get into that tomorrow because she's basically using Republican talking points to trash the idea of Medicare for All. There's some pretty stunning quotes that she said over the past few days on the campaign trail. Also had one other phone call that I'd like to share with you. This is from Roberta chiming in on a conversation we had last week about Shepard Smith announcing that he is leaving Fox News. And Roberta had this thought. She's wondering if Shep Smith leaving Fox News had anything to do with Attorney General William Barr meeting with Rupert Murdoch. Makes you think a little bit. And by the way, why exactly is the Attorney General of the United States meeting with the head of a TV network?
That was going to be my question.
Yeah. Why? unless he's planning on investigating Fox News, which is highly doubtful that Bill Barr would be doing that. But yeah, you have to wonder there. I don't think that has anything to do with Shep Smith resigning specifically, since a lot of stories have come out saying that he's basically been asking for his resignation for the past several months. But I don't know. You never know. Because it's certainly very curious when you have the Attorney General meeting with the head of a major TV cable news network. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's move on to some local news for today and some good news coming out of both the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Andrea Jenkins, who is a transgender city councilwoman in Minneapolis, is making a major push to ban conversion therapy in both Minneapolis and St. Paul. Now, this would be on a citywide basis because, as you may remember, during the last state legislative session, well, we had a bill that would have banned conversion therapy on a statewide basis, but of course that ended up dying for some reason in the Republican Senate. Now, in case you're not familiar with gay conversion therapy, well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's basically torture therapy that tries to convince you that you should no longer should be gay, you should be a straight person. So think of it from the perspective where if you're a straight person and all of a sudden you're forced to go to some sort of therapy that will try to convince you that you're gay, that would be very shocking to me, Sam, because I'm a straight person, and if I had to endure that type of therapy where I'm told I'm not a normal human, something's wrong with me, and that I need to be gay, that would be a very troubling thing to go through. So obviously think of it from the other perspective to use a little bit of empathy as to why conversion therapy is a horrible idea. And by the way, it doesn't work either. So definitely glad to see that Minneapolis and St. Paul are taking some steps to ban conversion therapy, because there's no reason we should have this in Minnesota, let alone in the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul individually.
I was going to say, I'm a little ashamed to hear that we haven't banned that yet. Before I heard about that her fighting for it, for the ban, I mean,
right.
I'd previously thought that it was banned over here, and it was kind of news to me that, wow, we still allow that?
Yeah. Governor Walz wanted to sign the bill. It came through and passed the DFL-controlled House, but it ended up actually failing in the GOP-controlled Senate. We don't need to get behind the entire politics into it, but basically there was some interesting business that was going on with Paul Gazelka, since I believe he actually, and I can't confirm this, because I don't know for sure going back and looking at some of those news stories, but I think he might have a daughter who actually is a lesbian, and apparently he was still not for banning gay conversion therapy. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And that brings me to another story that has to do with LGBTQ rights, and this was actually shared from Philip over on Facebook. Actually met him at the Blue State Ball last year, and this has to do with something that I've picked up for a long time since we had the inauguration of Donald Trump, and especially since we had the protests and the Trump rally that took place last week. I've talked a little bit about this on the show last week as well, and that's this idea that not all protests are created equal. Because so often we hear, like for instance, when we had the Trump rally last week, we heard it often from Trump supporters saying, why are people on the left so angry about Donald Trump? Why are you angry all the time? Why do you hate the president? Why are you burning those MAGA hats? And then perhaps even more annoying to me is when you get people who come from the so-called center part of the political aisle and say, why is there so much anger on both sides? As if we're kind of equivocating the anger that we're seeing from the left versus the anger that we're seeing from the right, including a Star Tribune story. I don't know if you saw this one, Sam, but there was basically an op-ed talking about, can't we just hug it out? No, we can't just hug it out.
Right, it's like one of these sides, right? Is genuinely like advocating for pushing down people, minorities,
right?
LGBTQ people, like they can't even live their lives. How are you supposed to be able to hug it out when this person's trying to like erase your existence?
Yeah, and as I brought up, we can always have disagreements about tax policy or how much we should spend on health care or Social Security or issues like that. But when it comes to the existence of groups of people, that's not really something you can just agree to disagree about. And that's where I want to go with this right now. Again, this post shared from Philip over on Facebook. He shared that recently Uganda announced a bill legalizing the murdering of gay people. Again, that's the nation of Uganda. The National Christian Organization paid a preacher to go to Uganda and help their lawmakers with this bill. Chick-fil-A funds the National Christian Organization. So therefore, if you eat at Chick-fil-A, this is where your money goes to. So often we hear, and this has to do with these protests, well, why do you hate organizations like Chick-fil-A so much? Well, think about what I just read right there. Essentially, the money you put into Chick-fil-A is going to the National Christian Organization, which kind of helped craft this bill in Uganda, which legalizes the murder of people who are gay or lesbian. So again, that has to do with the existence of certain people. You can't agree to disagree with someone on that issue whatsoever. So, yeah, that just drives me nuts, Sams, every time I hear someone say, well, can't we all just get along, or can't we just have a dialogue between ourselves? I would get that completely if we're talking about something like tax policy, for instance, or other examples I brought up. But on certain issues, whether it's that or whether what's happening in Syria right now with the Kurds, which, by the way, I'll touch on this a little bit later in the program, because I am very concerned that we've just created a new version of ISIS with the Kurds. But, of course, you can protest that because, well, not only is a genocide with what's happening in northern Syria to the Kurds, but you're also now running the risk of possibly having a new terrorist organization from people who are of Kurdish descent. So, yeah, there. If you're ever sitting there wondering, why is the left so angry? It's issues like that. Exactly. Night five. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say, you can't really hug it out when you can't take your skin color off, or you can't take your sexual orientation off. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas like the false equivalency with the quote-unquote Blue Lives Matter, it gets brought up a lot in the police discussions. Mm-hmm. A police officer can go home and take his uniform off, or her uniform
off. Great point.
Mm-hmm. You can't take your that's just your actual existence there.
Wow, that's a really good observation. So if you're wondering, yeah, why are people who are typically liberal out protesting, and why do they seem to despise the president so much? Well, it's issues like that, as you just brought up, Sam. LGBTQ rights, what's happening in terms of foreign policy in Syria, among other areas. Or if you even want to take it to a more domestic area, how about what's happening to the agricultural industry in this country? Because even though we could potentially see a trade agreement with China, some of those markets still aren't going to be coming back. They're gone forever. They're going to Brazil. So there's certainly plenty of reasons why people are angry at what's happening in this country, especially with the Trump administration. And there's definitely a false equivalency coming out when it comes to why are people so angry and upset in this country. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next on the program, Angie Craig is holding a town hall tonight. We're going to talk more about that up next here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Hey, it's Brett from the 4 p.m. show, and I got a crazy question for you. Is your home ready for the holidays? Yeah, I know it seems way too soon to be talking holidays, but they will sneak up on you. That's why I just use Zero Res to clean my carpet, so come holiday season, I'll have at least one thing off my checklist. And right now, Zero Res has an awesome carpet cleaning deal. 3-room Zero Resified starting at only $149. But you need to mention AM950 when you call. So call 9520-RES, mention AM950, and you'll be ahead of those sneaky holidays.
On October 20th, the University of Minnesota Center for Spirituality and Healing is offering a half-day mindfulness meditation retreat, which is open for those who have never practiced mindfulness or those who are daily practitioners. The mindfulness meditation retreat invites you to intentionally step away from daily routines and the busyness of everyday life for the purpose of renewal. Enjoy guided instruction from a skilled mindfulness teacher, sitting meditation, and gentle mindful movement. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
Hackers, ransomware, security breaches. As I speak, cyber criminals are stepping up their attacks on businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark. Rimark has the expertise and experience necessary to navigate your company to safe water. We launch our process with a network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. And it's free. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment today.
And we're back on the 4 o'clock repartee with Brett, Sam, and Kate on your Monday afternoon. Hey, we just had a caller chime in and ask, are you guys going to be broadcasting the debate? And indeed, we are. Basically, the way our satellite contract works is that if any debate is being broadcast through TV by CNN, well, that means we can do it here on the radio. Unfortunately, we can't do any others because networks like NBC, CBS, ABC, they are very, very strict when it comes to broadcasting their content without authorization. In fact, David Pakman on a previous program over the summer brought up how he was almost completely banned from YouTube just because he took a little snippet from an NBC debate. Absolutely crazy. But at least for us, we have a contract through our satellite provider where we can stream any debate that is from CNN, so you will be able to listen to the debate on the airwaves here on AM 950. But I would actually much rather see you at our debate watching party coming up tomorrow over at Burger Moe's in St. Paul. Doors are going to open a half hour before the debate, which I believe starts at 7 o'clock, so you'll want to head down there probably around 6:30, maybe 6:45, although with all the goofiness they do before the debate, I doubt they'll get it started before 7:15 or 7:30, so plenty of time to avoid rush hour, but would love to see you at that AM 950 debate watching party. Order your tickets now at am950radio.com. This is the last day you can pre-order those tickets and get that discounted rate of $15 because if you don't order those tickets by the end of today, well, then you got to purchase those at the door tomorrow and they will cost you a little bit more money. So lock in that nice early bird rate of only $15. Order now, am950radio.com. Hope to see you at the debate watching party. I'll be out there. Matt McNeil will be out there as well as other AM950 staff. So Angie Craig is holding a town hall meeting tonight. It's over at the Egan Community Center. And thanks to old friend of AM 950, Mike McEntee, he is going to be broadcasting the town hall on behalf of Egan Community Television. Remember Mike McEntee? He used to do the show back here in 2015, 2016, 2017, and of course was on many of our programs even well before then. If you're ever wondering what happened to Mike McEntee, well, that's the reason he's not here at AM 950. He's doing some good work over at Egan Television, and he'll be helping out with a live stream of Angie Craig's town hall meeting tonight. I have the live stream shared over on our AM 950 social media accounts, both on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, so you can go ahead and watch those. She'll be holding a town hall meeting. Unlike the previous representative of the 2nd Congressional District, that would be Jason Lewis, who I think held maybe a couple. And even the few he did hold turned out to not really be town halls, where I think they had one like in a coffee shop that was only half full, and they were telling people that we're full, we can't fit any more people into this coffee shop, even though it was quite literally half full. So Yeah, Jason Lewis, thankfully no longer a representative of the 2nd District, but he, of course, is running for a statewide office here in Minnesota, as he will be challenging Tina Smith, of course, in the U.S. Senate race here in this state. And I want us to share some thoughts about why Jason Lewis is such a weak candidate here in Minnesota, and kind of contrast it to what's been happening in Iowa, because I think there's this interesting comparison we can make in the Midwest between Iowa and Minnesota, how we have two relatively purple states that, at least on a statewide level, are not that competitive. And it has to do with the strength of political parties in those states, because here in Minnesota, our Republican Party, not very strong in terms of launching statewide campaigns. They haven't won a statewide race since 2006, and it's actually kind of similar to what's happening in Iowa with their Democratic Party. I'm kind of in tune of what happens down in Iowa, being that I worked down there a number of years ago, so we'll talk more about that in just a second. This idea of how Jason Lewis is really the best the Republicans have here in Minnesota, which again, is not that good of a chance, and kind of contrasting that and comparing that to what's happening in Iowa with the Democratic candidate that they are trying to launch as a challenge to Joni Ernst, who is going to be defending her Senate seat. She's a Republican in the state of Iowa. But let's go to the phone lines right now and talk to David in New Hope. Hey there, David. What's on your mind today?
Oh, what's on my mind, I'll preface my comments with quoting Mel Gibson as William Wallace, accused of your behavior seems like rage. And his reply was, it's gone well beyond rage.
Mm-hmm.
It has. Donald Trump is like a five-year-old child testing the boundaries. Check it out. Think about his behavior from the time he was first elected until now. It started out with small things like lying about the number of attendees at the inauguration. And then he kept getting bigger, and then it gets into the shenanigans over the 2016 election. Then it gets into trying to block Robert Mueller. And every time he gets away with it, he does something worse. He's reached the point where he is promulgating genocide. The man has become incredibly dangerous. He's killing people. And if any Trump supporter wants to talk to me about that, no, I am not willing to listen. Leave me alone. Go away from me, or I'm going to hit you. It's that bad. Beyond rage. Mm-hmm. I do not understand anybody anymore who can support Donald Trump when he has betrayed our ally. 11,000 Kurds died fighting ISIS, and Donald Trump has thrown them all under the bus, and now our former allies are allying with Russia. I mean, how much worse can it get before these Trump people figure it out?
Exactly. And thanks for the call there, David. I definitely get where your anger, or as you said, beyond rage, is coming from, because you have two clear-cut examples. Obviously, we have the Ukraine call, and then, of course, we have what's happening in Syria with the Kurds. As he said, the Kurds have stood side by side with us for years, fighting groups like ISIS. Now, of course, since the Kurds no longer have control, we have a bunch of ISIS fighters that are essentially just running free. And here's what I'm really concerned about when it comes to the Kurds. Just imagine at some point in the future, it probably won't be for a few years, but what's going to happen when you have someone who is a Kurd that comes to the U.S. and is angry about what happened? That's going to probably be another terrorist attack we're going to have in this country. This is exactly what we've seen go on for years and years with our foreign policy, where we turn our supposed allies into enemies. And this exact thing, I'm afraid, could end up happening with the Kurds, our once great allies who, by the way, were largely responsible for beating ISIS, or at least severely limiting their influence, are now probably going to become our enemies. And by the way, I have to ask this question as well. Would the Trump administration accept any Kurds as refugees here to this country? That's an interesting thing to ask, because he essentially created this entire mess. Would he accept any Kurds as refugees? Because there's direct evidence that we caused the exact reason why they're going to need to leave exactly where they're living. yeah, interesting to see if it comes to that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So coming up next, I'll continue my conversation about Jason Lewis and kind of comparing the Minnesota Republican Party to the Iowa Democratic Party. Then I also want to talk about a story that has to do with both Betty McCollum and Chelsea Clinton, and why, after you hear this, it's just going to be a reason why people in general hate politics. We're going to talk about all that up next, but first, it's time for the news from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, October 14th, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. The Syrian military is moving in as the U.S. moves out, and an unknown number of ISIS supporters have escaped detention. As the Turkish offensive in northern Syria gathers steam, it's creating a power vacuum in the complex conflict. This weekend, Defense Secretary Mark Esper said American forces would withdraw as safely and quickly as possible. Meanwhile, the Syrian Kurds announced a deal where the Assad government would aid their fight against Turkey. A Fort Worth African-American woman was playing a video game with her nephew at home just before being shot to death by police, according to the family lawyer. Police say they were responding to a neighbor's call about two doors ajar at the home where Atitania Jefferson lived with her mother. Body cam footage reportedly shows the officer shooting Jefferson from outside the building. Colorado insurance officials are looking at a public option for health coverage there. Eric Galatis has more about how publicly owned insurance plans might compete in the for-profit marketplace.
The proposal would require insurers with a certain market share to provide public option plans across the state. Adela Flores-Brennan with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says the plan will help control costs.
When we talk to consumers out in different areas of the state where they maybe only have the option of one particular company selling health coverage, they wonder what they're missing, and they wonder if they could get a better deal with something else.
The plan would also set rates for payments to hospitals and other providers based on what Medicare pays for similar services. Hospital advocates have warned that set payment rates could lead health providers to limit patient services.
Meanwhile, a Shark Tank-style competition near Washington, D.C. hopes to bring better health care to underserved communities. Diane Bernard reports that the contest, sponsored by the Heart Association, will feature 9 companies.
One competitor is Andrew Suggs, who started a Baltimore company called Live Chair. It makes and supports an app that aims to improve the health of African American men by training their trusted barbers to check clients for common ailments.
Initially, LiveChair is targeting hypertension, but in the future, we plan to tackle other chronic diseases like diabetes, CVD, or COPD. Our mission is to transform the barbershop into the hub of health for Black men.
Other businesses in competition include a company that makes a wearable device to help people manage their diabetes. Another is a grocery store located within a subsidized housing complex, the first in the nation. Anyone can attend online at empoweredtoserve.org and vote for their fan favorite.
I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Hi, Matt McNeil here to encourage you to join us on Tuesday, October 15th at Burger Mo's in St. Paul for the next Democratic debate watching party. Catch up with the candidates while enjoying great drink specials and our debate bingo. Tickets are $15 in advance and include some light free appetizers. Plenty of free parking as well. For tickets, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Tuesday, October 15th at Burger Mo's in West 7th Street, just west of the X in St. Paul. Join us for the next AM950 Democratic debate party.
Hey everyone, Ellie Krug here from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. This month, I'm sharing about opportunities to hear me in person. I'm having an open house on Thursday, October 17th in Minneapolis. Come hear about my work and about my nonprofit, Human Ripple Works, Inc. You need to register. There's no charge, but I need a head count. To register, go to elliekrug.com and see the upcoming engagements page. Scroll down, click on the link for October 17th to register. That's me, Ellie the Idealist, trying to make the world better. Hope to see you.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Tomorrow we got showers with a high near 45. Wednesday mostly cloudy with a high near 47. Thursday sunny with a high near 55. And Friday mostly cloudy with a high near 62. AM950 is hosting a debate watching party on Tuesday, October 15th at Burger Mo's in St. Paul. Come watch with like-minded progressives as the Democratic presidential candidates debate all the important issues and figure out how to beat Trump. More info at am950radio.com.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee during the 4 p.m. hour on a Monday afternoon, hoping to see you tomorrow at our debate watching party, Burger Mo's in St. Paul. Last chance to get that discounted rate of $15. Order now, am950radio.com, am950radio.com, and also Burger Mo's has absolutely delicious food, so definitely hoping to see you out there. All right, so before we go back to the phone calls, just want to finish up on my thoughts of what's been happening in Minnesota and Iowa, because I find this really interesting how, in general, Minnesota and Iowa are relatively purple states. But when you look at statewide elections, Minnesota has almost always gone blue, while Iowa, for the most part, has almost always gone red. And it really has to do with the strength of the statewide parties, because in Minnesota, the Republican Party is not strong at all on a statewide level. If you look, they have not won a statewide office since 2006. And now that we have our next statewide office up for election in 2020, again, that's Tina Smith's Senate seat, Jason Lewis is apparently their best hope. And I can pretty much always already call that he's going to have no chance to knock off Tina Smith in that race. He already lost a congressional race in a very purple district in CD2 by a fairly wide margin. Now he's trying to actually challenge a sitting senator. So his chances certainly aren't very good. And a lot of that, again, has to do with the fact that the Republican Party in Minnesota, on a statewide basis, not performing that well. Now, of course, on the legislative level, that's a little bit of a different question. And I kind of want to compare that to what's happening to our neighbors to the south down in Iowa, because there's a very important Senate race that's taking place down there. Joni Ernst, do you remember her? She was elected in 2014. She was famous or infamous for having an ad where she was basically castrating a hog. That's kind of how she made herself famous. And she ended up knocking off Bruce Braley, her Democratic opponent, who was just an absolutely horrible candidate among some of the things he did. He made fun of farmers and then also had his wife call the police over neighbors having chickens in their yard, so that certainly didn't help his cause. But Joni Ernst is up for election again in 2020 in what should be a competitive race, and one Democrats will need to win if they want any sort of chance to retake the Senate. Unfortunately, though, the Iowa Democratic Party, similar to what's happening with the Minnesota Republican Party, is going through their own struggles where they're having trouble finding statewide candidates, because the two most prominent people that are trying to challenge Joni Ernst are Teresa Greenfield, who was a candidate in the 3rd District of Iowa who didn't even end up getting the Democratic nomination, as well as Eddie Morrow, who also ran in the 3rd Congressional District in Iowa and didn't get the nomination. So basically, the best chances for Iowa Democrats are two people who couldn't even get their party's nomination for a congressional seat. And this is kind of similar to what's happening in Minnesota with Jason Lewis. The best they can do, but yet he's a very, very weak candidate. So as you go through and watch some of these Senate races, which are going to be very important in 2020, you have to sometimes look at the strength of statewide parties, because when you look at those locally, you can see where some parties are stronger than others. Again, case in point, the Minnesota Republicans and the Iowa Democrats. All right, in just a few minutes, I do want to talk about the story of Betty McCollum and Chelsea Clinton and why it'll basically make you hate politics. Ugh, just absolutely ugly. But first, let's run the phone calls. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. Hey there, Gary.
I just want to say quick, you know, that Ernst, she won that seat when Tom Harkin retired. He was there for
right.
years. And
a great liberal Democratic senator as well,
best
yes.
friend.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s. Senate. He was the guy that pushed through the American Disabilities Act. He had this deaf brother. I campaigned for him when he ran for president. He didn't get very far doing that, but he did a lot of damage to old man Bush. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, the difference between Republicans, they follow the guy who says, we're in this alone, you know. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, all that kind of garbage. And Democrats think, we the people, not I the individual. But Palmer wrote, we the people, not I the individual. And then if you get to be a millionaire, billionaire, give back to the country, pay your taxes. You don't get the little people to pay taxes. That's reverse Robin Hood. They can't pay the taxes anyway. That's why everything's falling apart in this country. That's why it's poverty and kids in debt for college. So that's what's happened. And I brought up, what made me think of this is Naomi Klein. I read her book, and she said we got about 5 years left to make drastic changes to get off burning these fossil fuels to stop us from going towards extinction, because the scientists are warning for 20, 30 years about the threat of extinction from climate catastrophe. And then Trump got in, and that was very dismal. So the whole Republican Party is a sore thumb. I once compared the Koch brothers to Hitler in a more deceiving way. I was condemned for it, but in a more deceiving way, I think the future generation maybe will be saying that. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but they'll be saying something like that, because they don't come out and pull you up and shoot you. But look what they're going to happen to this planet, livability. Another thing is the overpopulation issue. How are we going to be able to feed all these people this massive growth in population? But anyway, you need the government to do something about climate change, and they're destroying our government, bankrupting it. It's just awful.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Gary. Hopefully we'll see you at our debate party coming up tomorrow. I know we saw you at the last one over at the Park Tavern. Certainly lots of thoughts there. And let's go to our next phone call. Let's go to Robert Pilot, of course, the host of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And Robert, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how do I follow Gary? What the heck? Hey, happy Indigenous Day to everyone. It's every day is Indigenous Day.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give a quick update. We had an awesome parade here in St. Paul. The lieutenant governor and the governor there, Mary Kunish Podine, was grand marshal, and Bob Blake from Red Lake was other grand marshal. Mm-hmm. We had like 1,000 kids from all over the Twin Cities there, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And there's stuff happening all the time. I'm running the Metro State right now. I just want to wish everybody a happy Indigenous Day. Rock on AM 950, and Brett and Sam and the whole crew do a great job, and we'll see you guys Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. We'll see you tomorrow, Robert, and thanks so much for calling in and chiming in on what's been happening with the Indigenous Peoples Day activities, and I think he said it right. Every day probably should be Indigenous Peoples Day, because they're the ones that actually so-called discovered America, if you even want to use the term discovered America. It wasn't even Christopher Columbus. Obviously, the indigenous people were here well before Christopher Columbus. And even before Christopher Columbus, I think you had Leif Erikson that actually came to North America as well. So this whole idea that we're still honoring Columbus seems a little bit outdated and kind of silly to me. But I guess it's still a federal holiday because you're not able to go to any banks, and a lot of government buildings are closed today as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Okay, so let's move on to this story about Betty McCollum and Chelsea Clinton, of all people. So the reason I bring this up is that Anita Lowey, who is currently the U.S. House Appropriations Chair, she is the representative from New York's 17th Congressional District, announced that she will not be seeking re-election in 2020. Now, here's why this is important, because with her retirement, if Democrats are able to hold the U.S. House of Representatives, that means Betty McCollum becomes the chair of the U.S. House Appropriations Committee. Now, in case you're not familiar with the committee, it's very, very powerful, actually, in the U.S. House. The committee is responsible for passing appropriations bills along with the Senate, their Senate counterpart. The bills passed by the Appropriations Committee regulate expenditures of money by the government of the United States. So basically, they're kind of the money committee in Congress. So certainly, Betty McCollum would be put in a very powerful position. Now, we'll get back to McCollum in just a second, but the rumor is to replace Anita Lowey, I think is actually how you say her name, again in New York's 17th Congressional District. Guess who's being rumored as a possible replacement for Lowy for her congressional seat? Chelsea Clinton, of all people, the daughter, of course, of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Now, there's a number of problems with this. Of course, nepotism among them is a huge reason. But also, she doesn't even live in New York's 17th Congressional District. Now, we talked about this with Doug Padgett back when he was on the program, when he thought about running for Congress. We actually did some research and found out you technically can run for any congressional seat in your state, regardless of where you live. The only requirements are basically that you have to be at least 25 years old and you have to be a resident of the state. So as long as, for instance, if you're a resident of Minnesota, you can actually run for Congress in any one of our 8 congressional seats. It doesn't matter if you actually happen to live in that congressional seat. You just have to be a resident of the state. So, yeah, Chelsea Clinton won't be breaking any laws by potentially running for the New York 17 seat. But, of course, that just reeks of nepotism. And this is the exact same thing we've seen with Hunter Biden, who, of course, has been in the news for weeks and months with Donald Trump and his Ukraine phone call. So with Hunter Biden, is what Hunter Biden did and what he's done over the past few years, is it illegal? No, it's not illegal. But is it unethical? Yes, it's very unethical. Essentially, he's a guy who's just taking advantage of his father's last name. And that's something that obviously drives everyone nuts. And to be honest, it's happened in this country pretty much since our founding, where people just take advantage of their mostly father's last name, sometimes their mother's last name as well. And that's exactly what we're seeing with Hunter Biden. Again, what he did is not necessarily illegal, but it's certainly unethical, right, Sam? Is that kind of what you're thinking too?
Oh, yeah, I'd say it even goes before this country. Like, you think medieval times and before then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You have your lords and barons or whatever that all run in the family, you know. You pass it down, you inherit it. You don't have to really do anything to earn it. You're born with the name and that family will just stay in power.
Yeah, and this is what we're seeing kind of with Chelsea Clinton. Now, I don't know what kind of politician she'll be. Maybe she'll end up being a great politician, but she's essentially going to get this congressional seat handed to her because of her last name, and despite the fact that she doesn't even live in that district. And that's just what I think turns so many people off with politics, when you see that type of thing happen, where you see someone like a Chelsea Clinton or a Hunter Biden get preferential treatment just because of their parents' last name. So there's that in terms of Chelsea Clinton potentially replacing Nita Lowy in the House. Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
Or Bush and W. Bush.
Yeah, yeah. And Jebbers, at least trying back in 2016, we could have had a third Bush serve as president. And I think there's even, oh, help me out here, Sam. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the other Bush that I think is either the son of Jeb that I think might want to run for president eventually, or it might be another brother in the Bush family? Either way, I've seen that there's apparently another Bush coming down the pipeline that's going to run for higher office at some point.
We need to get some hedge trimmers.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Because goodness knows we haven't had enough Bush in politics in this country thus far. So anyways, there's that in terms of Chelsea Clinton potentially serving in Congress. Again, this is just talking about the complete nepotism angle, not necessarily as to whether she'll be a good House rep, because who knows, maybe she'll actually be a great House representative. I don't know. But it just is very bad optics. So let's take this back to Betty McCollum potentially becoming the chair of the House Appropriations Committee. This is also kind of what I have a problem with, and actually an issue where, to a degree, I agree with Republicans. Because the idea is that people in Betty McCollum's district are going to be told, well, vote for Betty McCollum because she'll be chair of this very powerful committee. And to me, and we've heard this in other congressional races as well, especially in the Senate, where you've often been told, well, you don't want to lose your senator because you're going to have a senator that doesn't have as high a seniority rank. And it's something I've never liked, because I think you should vote for someone like Betty McCollum because you think she's going to be a good representative, not because she's going to have this seniority level where she's going to be the chair of a certain very powerful committee. And this goes to what I was talking about just a moment ago, one issue where I actually kind of agree with Republicans, because just before they lost power, I think this was back in 2014 or 2015, the leadership of the Republican House actually had a rule that stated that members could not chair a committee for more than 3 terms. Which, in practice, I actually kind of like, because that takes away that, idea of the fact that you should vote for someone because they'll be chair of a committee or because of their seniority level. I actually kind of like that proposal. Of course, Kevin McCarthy, who is the Republican leader in the House now, is kind of backing off on that idea, but it was an original rule that was put in by Republicans a few years ago, and one area I kind of agree with them on, because I don't like this idea that we should vote for people based on their seniority. Now, when it comes to, like, who should lead committees, obviously you don't want to probably have someone who's a first-termer leave a committee. You lead a committee, I should say, because you probably want someone that has some experience. I don't know if you can maybe do that from vote among committee members in terms of who should chair, but I don't like the idea of doing it from seniority, because that's what I think just bugs people about politics, just the idea that you should vote for someone based on seniority, and then taking it back to the Chelsea Clinton angle, that we're basically going to have a continuation of dynasty politics with families like the Bidens, the Clintons, and of course, also the Bushes as well. 952-946-6205. Have some more miscellaneous stories I'll share with you on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Repartee with Brett and Sam on your Monday afternoon.
Marijuana legalization might not mean a lot to you professionally, but it may to your clients and employees, bankers and investors, property owners and landlords. Minnesota Lawyer has got your back with the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Denver-based researcher of the Marijuana Policy Group will present data on the economic impact legislation has had in Colorado and how that might translate to Minnesota. You'll hear from professionals in other states that legalized marijuana about what's at stake for you. Human resources professionals can learn about the effects on employees and how the hiring process could change. Attorneys will learn how to protect their clients. Commercial real estate brokers and agents will hear about investment opportunities from an expert panel. Speakers include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Speaker of the House Ryan Winkler, and Senators Melissa Franzen, Jeff Hayden, and Scott Jensen, as well as several Minnesota business leaders. Learn strategies that work at the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Register now at canconmn.com.
If you're struggling with what to give someone for a holiday, birthday, welcome gift, or to say thank you, try an affordable, easy, and unique gift, a You Betcha Box. What are they? Curated Minnesota gift boxes that include delicious Minnesota-made gourmet goodies. And with a name like You Betcha, you know it's local. You Betcha Boxes are a real-world example of what we can achieve when we support and nurture one another. Featuring a variety of fun, Minnesota-themed options, there is sure to be something for everyone. Every box also includes the Artisan Maker Profiles. Your gift recipient will enjoy reading about these amazing award-winning products and the interesting stories of the Minnesotans behind them. You Betcha Boxes are perfect for family and friends across the country and make great business gifts that will show your employees, co-workers, and clients your appreciation. Just go to YouBetchaBox.com and browse through the wide variety of local Minnesota-made gift boxes. Shipping is always included in the price. There is sure to be something that will leave a lasting impression. That's YouBetchaBox.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Just a few minutes left in our program. I'll tell you what, Sam, sometimes The Onion nails it with their headlines. Here's the latest one The Onion just put out. Jubilant ISIS prisoners hail American liberators. Sad how accurate that may actually be. You gotta love what The Onion does sometimes with their headlines. Hey, coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk much more extensively about this in kind of our debate preview type show, but Amy Klobuchar over the past few days has really been going after this idea of Medicare for All quite aggressively and using a lot of Republican talking points, including the one that absolutely drives me nuts, talking about how I don't want to kick 149 million Americans off their private health insurance plan. That doesn't seem like a good idea when that's not totally what Medicare for All does. But Amy kind of taking those Republican talking points among other candidates who are likely to do that as well tomorrow. We'll unpack that a lot more coming up on our program, the Tuesday edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. So we have a new Supreme Court challenge, and this has to do with, of all things, faithless electors. Of course, you might remember back in 2016, of course, when Trump was elected president, we had actually 10 faithless electors that ended up voting for another candidate besides Trump or Hillary Clinton. And now this is actually going to go before the Supreme Court. And what I didn't pick up actually from this New York Times article originally was that, so again, we had 10 faithless electors in 2016. That would have been enough to actually flip 5 previous elections over the 58 presidential elections we've had in this country. So kind of an interesting thing as to whether we should ban the idea of faithless electors. I think we actually shouldn't. And unfortunately, we're short on time. So maybe we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But that could end up before the Supreme Court. Let's close out our show today with Julie in Minneapolis. Hi there, Julie.
Hi, so I just wanted to say a couple comments quickly. You know, back in the day, in the late 70s and early 80s, the biggest complaint that the Republicans had against the feminist leaders, why don't you have any sense of humor? And it, so, you know, it's just kind of a, you know, it just, that, believe it or not, that's really true. And I just want to say, you know, one of the reasons I'm really angry and I hate Trump is I hate his misogyny. And that he gets away with everything. And I just want to say to my fellow Christians that are out there, the Bible does say hate what is evil and, you know, hate the oppressor of the poor. Those are quotes from the Bible. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Julie. Yeah, there's many issues that are worth disliking President Trump on that have nothing to do with specific policies where you can agree to disagree. Yeah, misogyny is certainly among them, as he's gotten away with a lot over his life and also, of course, serving as president of the United States. I mean, we have, what, how many accusers of a sexual assault against the president? Is it 16, 17, or 18? And we have not really had a full investigation of any of those. All right, that's all the time we have for today on the program. A reminder, order your tickets to our debate watching party coming up tomorrow, Burger Mo's in St. Paul. Your last chance to order tonight at am950radio.com for that discounted price. Otherwise, you got to purchase those at the door tomorrow for a little bit more of an expensive price. So make sure you order those now, am950radio.com, and hopefully we will see you at Burger Mo's.